This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. When you apply for a job, you may think all you need to do is give facts about your qualifications. That's a mistake, says today's guest. Every application should tell a story. Scott Clyburn is here to talk about how to tell your career story in a job application. He's the founder of North Avenue Education. His company offers test preparation, study skills coaching, and academic tutoring. And he joins us from Portland, Oregon. Well, Scott, here's where I want to start. Why do you need to tell your career story in a job application at all? Shouldn't your credentials and your experience matter most to an employer?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mac. You know, as a small business owner, I get a lot of resumes on my desk, and many of them come without cover letters. It's actually quite common for job applications to come without a cover letter these days. I've read only about 35% of applicants submit a cover letter when it's optional, and really only 38% submit it when it's required. So employers and recruiters and hiring managers are sifting through a lot of applications with just that resume, right? That's why I think it's really important for your resume alone to tell a compelling story about who you are, what your qualifications are, why you're choosing to apply to this particular role or this particular position, and why the recruiter or the hiring manager should give you an interview.
I meet many candidates, and I expect you do as well when you're interviewing applicants at your company, who think, well, I've got these educational credentials, I've had these jobs with these titles. That alone should be enough for me to get a job off, or rather an interview. But they're not telling their story, Scott. Can you talk more about what's the difference between having a well-written resume and other application materials that lay out what you've done and an application that not only talks about your qualifications, but tells your story and how those two things are different?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, here are the questions. I want to start by framing it about what the recruiter or the hiring manager is going to be thinking when they review your application and particularly your resume. So the questions that they're probably asking themselves are things like this. You know, why did this person take those jobs, those particular positions before this one or before applying to this one? What's motivating this person to make a change now? Maybe it's a career change, maybe it's an industry switch, but whatever it is, you know, employers want to know what's motivating an applicant to desire a new position. And that's also going to help them make a decision about whether they think they can provide that thing that applicants are looking for in a new position. And then finally, recruiters and hiring managers are often asking themselves, you know, why does this candidate think that they'll be particularly successful in this role? And so those are the questions that candidates can sort of be thinking about and mulling over when they curate their resume and their entire job application materials. So a great metaphor I like to use is that your resume is really not so much like your rap sheet as it is your set list. If you're a musician, you have a different set list, you know, every night, every performance, every venue, you know, every audience is different. So you have to kind of be thinking about what is going to move your audience, this particular, you know, interviewer or this particular recruiter, at this particular company in this particular moment in time. What are the kind of songs from your repertoire that are really going to connect and resonate with this audience? That's going to help you tell your story.
So think about why this job, what you offer, and the difference that you can make. And that's a great metaphor, the set list. In your experience, Scott, because I know you look at a lot of applications, do most candidates do this? Do they tell that career story? Are they offering that set list to employers?
By and large, no. By and large, the interviewing team or the hiring team has to perform most of the legwork to see that through line, to see that narrative, that compelling story that explains why an applicant is here looking for this particular position and whether they'll be successful once given the position. So I think it's really an opportunity for applicants to stand out to do this. You know, another thing that they can do to really make this effective is to know what their employer cares about, what this particular employer, this company cares about. You know, what's the culture like? What are the goals? What's the mission? And then speak that language. Because it's really oftentimes the sort of small talk that happens at the beginning or the end of an interview that, you know, hiring managers remember and help a candidate stand out. It might not be so much the list of achievements or tasks executed in prior positions. It's that common language and that common connection that you forge.
Scott, what do you think stops candidates from telling their career story when they're putting their application materials together or going into an interview?
Yeah, I think candidates, well, first of all, there's not a lot of information or training or coaching out there for how to build a compelling application. Some colleges and universities have, you know, departments for this, but most of the time applicants are kind of winging it, or maybe they're going to the internet and they're looking for example resumes or example cover letters, or maybe they're using a template within Google Docs or Apple Pages, and they're just kind of filling in the core information. You know, they know the facts of the roles that they've had in the past. Maybe they're even looking at the past job descriptions that they've held in the past, or the job postings from the companies that they've worked at in the past, and they're just kind of cut-pasting, right? So I think it is a real opportunity to stand out if you're able to put a bit more elbow grease, so to speak, into crafting a document that's going to be memorable, that's going to be compelling, that's going to tie all of those loose ends together and explain, okay, I went from point A to point B, and now I'm at point C, and it really makes sense that I would land in a position like yours or like this one that I'm applying for.
Well, let's talk about how to do that, how to tell that story. I know you have a number of tips, and let's start with resumes. And I also want to talk about cover letters and interviews, and because that requires slightly different approaches as well. But when you're putting together that resume, which is usually the centerpiece of your application, one of your first tips is to be selective about what you include. Why is this important, Scott?
Yeah, it's important because employers don't want to read long resumes. By and large, these recruiters and hiring managers are spending, you know, 5 minutes max looking through each application. And so they're not going to scroll upon, you know, page after page looking for the details that will really kind of help them make a judgment about inviting you to an interview. You have to do that work. You have to be the one that's distilling that information, paring it down, showing them the condensed, you know, the greatest hits, to go back to that metaphor of a kind of a set list or a musician. What are your greatest hits? What are you most proud of, right? What are your achievements that you think really make you a standout candidate? So part of that is focusing on your achievements, not on your roles or the specific responsibilities that you've executed in the past. And a good way to frame this as an applicant is, what are you most proud of in your prior roles? Think about what did you accomplish there? What do you kind of look back and say, yeah, I got great feedback about that one presentation, or, you know, I really was proud that I hit those numbers in the second quarter of that year. Make that sort of the key feature of that line item in your resume, and make sure that ties in especially with the new application or the new position's sort of goals and values and mission, right? So you have to know this employer pretty well, and what is the language that they're going to be looking for, right? If they say something like customer service in the job application, then you need to say customer service two or three times in your resume. It needs to stand out. It needs to be something that when they scanned, they're gonna connect with and notice.
So think about your greatest hits, and continuing the set list metaphor, and what you're most proud of. That's a great tip. We're going to take a break right now, Scott. So stay with us. When we come back, Scott Clyburn will continue to share his advice on how to tell your career story in your job application. A resume is one of the best places to tell your career story. Does your resume do this well? Talk to the experts at Top Resume. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Get ideas you can use to fix your resume right away, or hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Scott Clyburn. He's the founder of North Avenue Education. His company offers test preparation, study skills coaching, and academic tutoring. Scott joins us from Portland, Oregon. Now, Scott, before the break, we were talking about how to tell your career story in your job application. And one of the points you made at the end of our first segment was talk about your achievements, your greatest hits. When you as an employer are reviewing applications, do you see material in those applications, cover letters, resumes, and other content that you wish applicants would have left out because it simply wasn't relevant?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say that the top things that I skim over or kind of ignore in an application are non-industry experience or, you know, experience that comes from another industry and might not really be applicable. I would only include that as an applicant if you can point out how it relates or if you're particularly proud of an accomplishment. Also, I see oftentimes academic info that, so far in the past that it seems irrelevant. Like if you have one or two advanced degrees, I don't need to know your undergrad GPA or the fact that you got Dean's List in, your sophomore year. Also hobbies. Sometimes people include hobbies kind of at the bottom of their resume that doesn't seem to be super applicable. I can always ask that in their interview if I'm curious. And then finally, we often see skills that are kind of too vague to really appreciate. Oftentimes I think some of these job platforms like Indeed will kind of have you do a survey about different skills and it'll say something like, communication 8 out of 10. And I just don't really know what that means. So it's not usually something that I put a lot of stock in. I kind of just skip over it.
Thanks for sharing that. Another tip you have for telling your career story in your job application, and you mentioned this in the first segment, Scott, is to show how you fit the company culture. I mean, how do you do this, Scott, particularly if you're not all that familiar with the company? How do you get up to speed both on their culture and show in your application materials that you would be a good fit there?
Yeah, culture is kind of a buzzword these days, but it is important to acknowledge and recognize and be familiar with, especially when you walk into a first interview. It could be helpful to scan the employer's or the company's website. Maybe if you can, talk to someone who maybe works there or used to work there. LinkedIn is a great resource for this. And just know a little bit about kind of what the culture is like at that company, how to connect with people who work there, right? It's, as I said in the first segment, Mac, it's often the serendipitous small talk that interviewers remember after the interview ends. It's sort of reading between the lines of the job posting or the website copy is really going to help candidates prepare to connect with the interviewer on that level.
Any tips for how you've seen candidates take advantage of that small talk before or after an interview, particularly introverts, to show that they indeed might be a good fit for the company's culture?
Yeah, that's a great great way to get into this a little bit deeper. So I'll share one tip that worked well, and then another one that didn't. One time, an interviewee had read pretty extensively on our blog. And, our tutors and staff write our blog posts. We don't source that out. So there's often some personal, color in the blog posts. And so they were able to kind of bring attention to or call back to a joke that was made in a blog post. And I could tell that they, not only were familiar with our website and kind of the content that we were producing that we thought was valuable to kind of share with the world. But they got the kind of humor that you know, passes in our workplace. And by and large, that's really geeky, nerdy humor, by the way. But yeah, that was a really successful way to connect with us and our team culture. And then an unsuccessful way is just anytime an applicant doesn't really have a sense for the population that we serve. You know, if they come in talking about, you know, I'm really excited to work with this kind of student or this kind of client. And I think to myself, you know, that's not really our client. That feels like a mismatch. You know, that feels like they didn't do their homework, so to speak, in understanding what population we serve and why that's a really a big part of our brand.
Another tip you have for telling your career story, both in your application materials and in your contact with an employer, is to show how you grew in your last job. What do you mean by this, Scott? What do you have in mind, and how do you see, have you seen people do it well?
Absolutely. You know, it's a wonderful way to stand out during a hiring process, to kind of talk about growth. All employers really want to see their employees grow and get better at what they're hired for, and in many cases, expand their skill sets and in order to advance within the company. You know, that's how businesses are successful. So highlighting your proven experience in meeting new challenges or attaining goals or, you know, acquiring new skills, that can be really, really valuable. It also tells employers what motivates you. You know, what are the kinds of challenges that you really get inspired by and that help you rise to the occasion, because that's going to help them get, you know, the most out of you as an employee. It's going to help, you know, them assess or judge if you're going to contribute to their mission. And that's something that they care deeply about.
We started out in the first segment talking about the resume, but a resume alone isn't your only application material when you're applying for a job. And you mentioned that many people don't use cover letters now. Scott, how have you seen candidates successfully tell their career story using cover letters and maybe other application materials like work samples or portfolios?
Yes, so as I mentioned earlier, only about 35 to 38% of applicants actually do submit a cover letter these days. And so on the one hand, if you have the time to write something really kind of polished and compelling, it can really help you stand out because you'll be in the minority. Also, I would say if your application does say that they ask for or they require a cover letter, you really better be writing one. And you better not write a very hasty and short one, because that's also something that stands out, or that recruiters will kind of have a poor first impression of you on the basis of. But a cover letter is a great opportunity to tell your story more extensively and to make sure that you highlight the particular roles or the particular experiences that you think make you especially qualified for this position. So make sure that, you know, it's succinct and concise and isn't more than a page typed out, but it does tell, you know, the kind of the story of your career trajectory, you know, where you've been, where you are right now, and where you hope to go in the future with the help of this position or this new opportunity. So that's how a cover letter can be really, really impactful and aid an applicant. Other ways that I've seen applicants stand out without a cover letter, there's a lot of very unique resume designs nowadays. And I think that I've seen a lot of applicants recently use images and even work samples within the resume. You know, it was common even starting years ago to include a photo, and that's, you know, maybe there's some questions about bias when including that. But I think that other things like just a well-designed resume, or maybe like resumes with different sidebars and that include kind of different pieces of information as you scan. And again, not longer than two pages, preferably, because again, recruiters don't have a lot of time to spend on each application. But if you can jam pack that first page or that first and second page with a list of accomplishments and prior roles, and then maybe some colorful information about, I've seen some folks in the past do a philosophy. You know, what is my kind of a philosophy of work? Or what is my philosophy of productivity? Or in my case, because we hire a lot of tutors, what is my philosophy of teaching? That can be a way to really kind of stand out and have recruiters and hiring managers say, I haven't seen, you know, someone say it that way very many times today. I connect with that, and that's memorable to me.
Well, Scott, it's been a terrific conversation. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Sure. So, I'm speaking with you, Mac, today in my capacity as the chief hiring manager, so to speak, at my organization. But most of my days are spent coaching and advising prospective grad school applicants. North Avenue, my company, is focused on providing high quality and expert guidance around preparing for entrance exams, such as the GRE and GMAT and LSAT, and around writing the personal statement for grad school applications. And so we're seeing a lot of people respond to the current economic climate by upskilling and pursuing advanced degrees. So we're just excited to support them and the challenges that come with graduate admissions.
Well, that's terrific. I know listeners can learn more about you and your company, Scott, by visiting your website. That's northaveducation.com. We'll be sure to include that in the show notes in the website article about your episode. And I know you also invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. And if they do so, I always encourage them to mention they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, Scott, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to tell your career story in your job application?
Yeah, I think the one thing I want listeners to take away from this conversation is to curate their resumes like a musician's set list. Know your audience and strategically choose a greatest hits of the songs you think will really resonate with your audience and help you stand out.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Mary Southern. She's the founder of Resume Assassin. Mary's company creates resumes that show your unique value and help you win interviews. You send out your resume to an employer, and you get no response. And it happens again and again and again. What are you doing wrong? Join us next Wednesday when Mary Southern and I talk about why your resume isn't working and what to do about it. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Berry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.